Thank you, Robert. We now have time for discussion, which I'd like to kick off with two short comments, one from Orazio Attanasio from UCL and the Institute of Fiscal Studies, and then Anna Bradley from the Financial Services Authority. Orazio, do you know why you stay?
Okay, thanks. Fascinating topic, fascinating speech. Okay, I'm an economist, so I guess my role here is to be a little bit boring in commenting on this presentation that was definitely very, very interesting. Obviously, the problem of consumer debt, of the use of credit cards, of the regulation of financial services is an extremely important one. And it's something on which I think we still know very, very little. And in fact, some of the research that has been done here is extremely valuable probably for that. However, as an economist, as somebody trained in thinking in certain terms, the one thing that I would like to see more is more hard facts. And by that, I mean more concrete evidence, more direct evidence based on household surveys, based on a number of other statistics. Obviously, there was an awful lot of that in here. There were some tables taken from important surveys like the Survey of Consumer Statistics. Let me just, I don't have an hour to talk about all this and how I would do things. Let me just say a couple of things I think would be interesting to know. We heard lots of anecdotes about how consumers overspend, how consumers are tricked into spending, and I'm sure that lots of this does happen and is important and probably constitutes a powerful sign that we need more regulation in this sector. But however, I think that more evidence is needed on what's the level of economic literacy among consumers? How many people do understand compound interest? Now, my personal impression and some evidence I do know, coming from both the US and the UK, is that some consumers do have serious problems with them, but the big chunk of them do understand the basics. Now, of course, as I say, much more evidence is needed on that. There is some research that goes back to the 60s. There is a fascinating paper in the NVR collection in 64, I think, by Juster and Shea, that looked at this issue and found that, lots of consumers underestimate slightly the cost of credit, but pretty much they get it right, even when confronted with fairly complex transaction. Now, this was the 60s, and they were talking about some very simple loans. Obviously, some similar evidence would be very valuable now when financial products are much more complex and there is much more scope for this. Second point on which we need more evidence is that what is the reaction of consumers to changes in interest rates? Do they borrow less when the interest rates go up? There is a fascinating paper that came out in the Quarterly Journal of Economics a couple of years ago that studied millions of U.S. consumers and credit card customers. And it found some evidence, some of which is pretty much in line with what has been said here, and showed that, when credit card increases the borrowing limit, consumers tend to increase how much they borrow. But on the other hand, it's also shown that they are sensitive to interest rates. When interest rates go up, they borrow less. Now, I'm not saying that all this happens in a perfect way, but I think it's crucial to understand what are the exact dynamics, why people behave in certain ways, before we can draw firm conclusions about policy. The third thing, and I'll stop here, even though I could probably talk more about a number of other issues, is what do we know about the importance of institutions, the importance of markets, and the importance of market regulations. There is a fascinating paper, again published in the Quarterly Journal of Economics a few years back, that looked at the prevalence of consumer debt across U.S. States. Now, U.S. states differ in terms of the regulation of bankruptcy protection. There are very large differences. There are some states, the most amazing are Texas and Florida, if I remember well, where if you declare bankruptcy, you get to keep a fair amount of your assets. In particular, your homes are protected, I believe, in both in Florida and in Texas. This paper, and there is a very wide variation of regulations across the 50 states. What this paper did was looked at was the level of consumer indebtedness and credit card debt across the states. And the very interesting finding was that in states where the protection were most generous, people borrowed the least. And there was a robust finding that was confirmed by a number of other studies as well, which tells me that probably the nature of institutions affect very much what happens in credit markets in very complex ways. Again, we have still a very limited picture of how these things work. And I think this kind of research and research targeted towards these issues would be extremely valuable. Thanks very much.
Thanks very much. I'm a regulator by day, but I have a particular interest in the consumer dimension. And I thought I would just start by sort of taking what Robert's given us and moving it on a stage, because what he's described is a very interestingly is a history of how we've got to where we've got to. The question is, what are we going to do about it? It seems to me, because we need to in understanding that history, think rather carefully about how to manage the situation that we're in. And it seems to me that we're in the situation we're in because not just of one, but actually three sets of factors. Robert alluded to one, which was deregulation or the weakness of regulation. He majored on the second, which is about strong and in many cases unfair marketing practices that firms use. He didn't touch on the third, which is about consumer responsibilities and capabilities, which have just been raised. And I want to just mention for a moment each of those and what their part in solving this might be. But before I do, I want to make an assumption. And that is that if you look at, which I think is justified, but I think it's worth putting on the table. If you look at why consumers approach financial services at all, it is to meet one of three basic requirements, fundamentally. They're either approaching the financial services marketplace because they want to buy something which gives them security, an insurance or protection product of some description, or they're approaching the financial services market because they want to save for some future eventuality, or they're approaching the financial services market because they want to smooth their the flows and the peaks and troughs of their income. And the fact is that there is a very legitimate reason for many consumers to use credit precisely to do that, to smooth their income over time. And if that credit facility is managed in a way is managed, full stop, then there is in itself absolutely no reason why credit should, as a matter of course, have a dirty name. And that's an important assumption, but that is my assumption, that credit can and does meet an important consumer need, and therefore we need to find a way to manage our use of credit in a way which is helpful to consumers. And the issues which we need to address in that context are the fact that there has been weak regulation in the UK, something very much on the DTI's mind with a programme of work to enhance licensing in the credit area and so on. And I won't build on that. Many people in the room are better equipped than I to talk about that to a greater extent. A very much stronger emphasis on the way in which firms operate, not just in this marketplace, but in all financial services marketplaces. And we at the FSA have a particular interest here in what we would call treating customers fairly. I mean, how many of those firms who are giving consumers credit are seriously considering the extent to which consumers are going to be able to pay off their credit over time, bearing in mind the very many risks that consumers have to face? And I'm talking here not about whether or not consumers understand the difficulties of paying off a percentage interest rate or even understand compound interest, which most don't, but whether or not consumers are able to understand the risks that they're running with changes in interest rates, for example, which is a very difficult thing to understand over a long period of time and ensure that you've built in the kind of protections in your own financial arrangements to cover you should interest rates change. So we need to look at marketing practices really, I think, quite seriously. And the third thing is we need to look at this question of financial capability, because the fact is that 25% of adults have an incredibly low numeracy and do not understand percentages or some very simple calculations. And for many other people, actually understanding this notion of interest rate risk is really an extraordinary difficult task to accomplish. So we have somehow to ensure that this group of people are able to understand what they're doing when they're entering into credit arrangements. And we need to do that because for all that there is this large population of people, the majority actually at the moment, who are managing their credit very well, there is a population of people who are likely to fall into some degree of over-indebtedness if our economic conditions substantially alter. And it's that group of people that we need to address in terms of their credit behaviour. The proportion of people in the UK who are what one would describe as seriously over-indebted in the UK is very small. Seriously over-indebted, we're talking about people who are using 50% of their income to service their debt, and we're talking about something in the region of about 6% to the population in the UK at the moment, but this could grow substantially. So it's that middle group that we need to focus our efforts on, and they really need to understand the nature of the risk that they're entering into when they go into credit agreements. They may be able to pay today, but will they be able to pay tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow? And that's a particularly big challenge.
Thank you very much, Horacio and Anna. I think it's a great pity that the economists and regulators and haven't been there to advise me on my mortgage details. But I leave that be. Just a brief point, because I want to open discussion, and we can come back in answers and comments to some of the points raised here. Anna Bradley's former home, the National Consumer Council, just published research on consumer education and consumer literacy in general. And the example they gave about financial literacy in the UK was to point out that close to 20% of adults were unable to calculate the sum remaining after purchasing 3 grocery items out of £5. To put interest rate and compound rates in perspective.